Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ah, hello there, dear listener. It's me, Joe. I notice you've tuned in once again to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. Just remember, we dish out double the content over on our Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Go on, you'll love it. You'll pay your monthly fee and I will literally roll around in your hard-earned cash, probably wearing something provocative. Jay's not going to like this advert at all. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by everyone. Joined by Mark Packham.
Hello there.
Joined by Jay Cross.
Back once again with the Renegade Master, deep bud down with the pad to the people. Back once again with the Renegade Master, deep bud down with the ill behaviour.
And Matthew Knight.
I'm off.
Yes.
He's given up.
That's right, we've actually got everyone, which is wonderful and exciting.
The thing that I like most about that intro, Joe, was what? The fact that the whole way through your first spiel, you were expecting someone to interrupt you and ruin it for you, which is why every time you got to the end of a word, you kind of looked around and stumbled for a sec.
It was half that. You know, I was trying to mix it up. I've been listening to a lot of different podcasts recently, and you know, I've noticed that some of the ones I really like offer, whilst they have similarities at the start of each episode, they don't go for exactly the same spiel.
So that isn't that like
they mix it
isn't
up.
Isn't that the conversation we have every week? And you say, no, it has to be.
Yes, exactly. I'm going against it
when we say it, but he's got to listen to other good people doing it.
Well, that is exactly true. But also,
who have you been listening to?
Well, actually, I've been listening to lots of other, but I've just been listening to one. I've just been listening to Atletico Mints like a lot.
What's Atletico Mints?
I only recently discovered it, and it's been going since 2016, so I was just hammering episodes. That's a go. I went up to Leeds last weekend with my band, and they introduced it to me, so we just listened to it the whole way to Leeds and the whole way back. It's Bob Mortimer. It's a podcast. Him and another guy, Andy, I can't remember the guy's surname, but it's the two of them. It's a football podcast, but interesting.
I like how you said, oh, I've only just started listening. I've only just got into it, but it's been going since 2016. Like, in the landscape of podcasts, 2016 was a long time ago. One that I listened to started in 2007.
My goodness, did they have recording devices in 2007? No, that is impressive.
Yeah.
I just listened to, Mark came in as I was listening to the end of it. I listened to the first episode of the MERS-cast.
MERS-cast.
Well,
I didn't know Ollie Mers had a podcast.
It's Ollie Mers. No, I think Matthew would be into it, actually. It is a podcast all about MERS-bow. And it's about basically the host and so far one fella, but he said it might be more fellas.
Right.
Basically sit around, sit in this geezer's house, and apparently he's got a monster sound system, and they listen to a MERS-bow record in full and then talk about it afterwards. But like, you can't hear the MERS, you don't listen to the record.
you just hear what they
talk about it. And like, I've seen a lot of people talking about it, and because like the noise, so people who don't know who MERS-bow is, he's this Japanese noise artist, I guess.
Was he the one that released a CD
that only came in a car. Was
yes.
that him?
Yes, yes. He released yes. one copy of one of his records. One of his records there was only one copy of, and it came sealed inside a BMW. It was in the CD player.
You couldn't take it out?
No, you could not. No. So the only way you could listen to it was by sitting in the car, or I guess near the car. But anyway, I've seen loads of people talking about it recently, and I was like, oh, I don't really, like, I'm not really that interested. And then this weekend, Merzbo released a statement saying, I do not condone this podcast. Do not listen to it. And so I'm
immediately going to have to listen to this.
It was quite good.
I sort of feel like he does, and by him putting out a statement, more people will listen. Saying that he doesn't, more people will listen to it than if he had just put one out saying, yeah, I like it.
Totally.
Like the fact that he said, no. Don't listen
Do
to
Do not
it.
Listen to this.
Makes you think, yeah, I will listen to
it. Speaking of podcasts that I don't listen to, you two did a little double header last week.
We didn't talk about guitars much from what I remember. What did we talk about? We did listen to questions, I think.
We did some questions. We talked about Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know. Can't really think of what else.
It was a different format. I was quite grateful for that because I had virtually no editing, so I didn't have to do any of the add the little jingles in.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the thing.
Oh, that's, yeah, because we didn't do the news or anything.
No, you didn't do any of the stuff that I'd sent you, but which was fine. It was better.
I'd like to make a little announcement.
It was better. Yeah, it was better. Yeah. And as I've been trying to say for years, we need to stop talking about guitars and just start talking about other stuff. The forums for guitars, that's fine. You can talk about guitars there.
I'll just think get rid of guitars on there as well. No need. I want to make an announcement about this week's Patreon. Seeing as we've not done a quiz for a little while, yeah. I've stolen the format mm-hmm. of Ingenious Quiz from another podcast that I was listening to. And on this week's podcast, we are going to play a game
called Patreon podcast.
We are going to play a game called Slipped Discs. And
it's all about injuries that people have sustained.
No, it is not that. But if you want to hear more, check out the Patreon episode. It's going to be
really
good.
Are you going to explain the rules?
I'm going to explain the rules on the Patreon.
Right, okay.
But let's just suffice to say, I think it's going to be very, very funny indeed.
Mm, excellent.
Patreon.com/guitar nerds.
Well, sticking with you, Mark Packham, you finally bought a badger.
Yes, after, I don't know why you said that, after how many years we've been doing this podcast? Six?
Yeah.
Seven?
Six, seven.
2013
seven
we started.
Yeah.
So, 2013, maybe this week.
Yeah, in fact, yes, 5th of May.
It was two days ago.
It was our 4-year anniversary on Patreon.
Okay, so
yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, did we?
We talked about that. Clearly, you didn't listen to the podcast.
I did not.
I think we talked about it in the Patreon.
We did, yes.
We talked about the people who've been supporting from the start.
Right.
Well, they got a shout-out last week. This is just a regular week. Okay. They're not getting anything this week.
Now they're back to the scum.
That's right.
This is our sixth year anniversary doing literally this week. Couple days either side. And we've talked about Baja's probably on every episode
since then. 5th of May, was that actual...
That was when it was released. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we probably
recorded on Star Wars Day.
No, I think
we recorded.
Because...
I think it took Mark before. 3 weeks to edit every episode.
No, that's not true. We used to record on Mondays.
Then we take it for a drink on Tuesdays.
And then we took it for a drink on Tuesdays. And then
what
Wednesday...
What were we doing by Wednesday?
Making love.
Yes, we were.
So, yeah, we probably would have recorded on the 3rd of May, I think is the official start date. But anyway, since then... The original lineup has done 315 episodes, where pretty much every episode...
May 3rd's a Friday. There's no way that I would have agreed to that.
I think we might have recorded on a Friday.
It was just the same as being in a pub. It was like having a drink back then, whereas now it's like work.
The thing
that makes me think... Because I was, as you will remember, extremely miserable in 2013.
Oh, you
and
were.
And I was going out and drinking a lot, and I don't think I would have agreed to have done it if it had been on a Friday.
Were you by that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like ground zero.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So 315 episodes later, pretty much every episode we've talked about the Fender Baja Telly.
Badger.
I've finally bought one.
I can't believe it.
After being delayed for a few weeks due to incompetence on a fellow podcaster's part, I finally have got one. And
Joe?
No, it was you. They're really good. Turns out Fender Baja
Tellies.
They are
really good. So do we all have... No, because you didn't get one despite loving
one. I know.
So is that, so now two of us, at least half the podcast.
No, I've got one.
Matt's got one.
Oh, Matt's got one.
I mean...
Wait,
I mean,
just me.
I mean, the thing about mine is it's pretty far removed from a Baja Telly.
What have you done to your badger?
Stop saying badger. It's not funny.
The badger telly.
Put him in his place.
Just like, what was the other one? What was that Squire? There was a particular Squire model that people always used to name wrong, and it always used to just be like, Ibanez was always a classic.
Epiphany.
Ebenez.
Ebenez. Ebenez a Scrooge.
Gibson. Gibson.
What was the Squire that people used to say wrong?
I'm sure there was a particular Squire, and I can't remember. There was a weird model. Maybe it wasn't a Squire. It was something people always used to get wrong.
Leipold.
Leipold. Did have that one once. Have you got any of those Leipolds?
What?
Classic. Leipold.
Anyway, what have you done
to your
Baja?
What have you done to your Baja? Oh,
so I instantly teared everything out of it and put a TV Jones Powertron in the neck. And a Seymour Duncan quarter pounder, I think. No, a little... quarter pounder?
Quarter pounders were bladed on...
No,
the...
it's not a quarter pounder. Yeah. I actually originally put a Billy Gibbons BG 1400 in there, but it was far too overpowered. That's what I had in my Esquire in days gone by.
Right.
But I bought it secondhand, and it was also really reliced, and the neck's been worn down, and it plays like a dream.
Plays
like
butter.
Plays like butter. And put 11s on it, because you can't play a telly with 10s on it. It's the blonde colour.
The blonde
Has it
colour.
Got a black scratch plate on it?
Yes.
Right. Of course it has.
Which I had, but I changed it to a one-ply black scratch, because I don't think they... Is it three-ply?
No, they come with one-ply.
They come with a big, thick one-ply.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had that custom cut for the neck pickup. And then I've obviously now put the Gun Street Wiring custom harness set in it as well.
See, that's my next move.
So how are you finding your Baja?
Good. The only thing I don't like is obviously the vintage gloss on the neck, but that'll wear off a little bit.
I love that.
So get some sandpaper to it, mate.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that, but I'm going to just leave it for a bit so I'll check that I definitely do like the guitar.
How are you adapting to that super weird extra position?
The four-way switch?
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, I don't...
Oh, God, it annoys me.
It wasn't wasn't a surprise to me, because as we've been talking about them for 6 years, I've actually remembered that it's got a four-way and an S1 switch. Mm. Do you know what? The position that I like is second position, so the second one from the neck.
What? That's the neck pickup.
S1 switch in.
That doesn't do anything.
You mean out.
Doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it does.
It does. The only position that the S1 switch doesn't make a difference is
the bridge. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I've been playing my Baja a lot. And
it definitely sounds different in or out.
The S1 is phase switch, and so it only does something when
you've got two pickups on.
Yeah, so you must be thinking of second position from the bridge.
Ah.
No.
Here we go. Position... Oh, hold on. Position one.
Matt's got it.
Bridge pickup. Position two, bridge and neck pickup in parallel.
Yep.
Position three, neck pickup only.
Yep.
Position four, neck and bridge pickups in series.
The only
ones it should make a difference to are the ones where you're using both, because it switches them out of phase.
Two and four.
Yeah, two and four. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Position two.
Screw you, Mark Packham.
Position two with the S1 switch, bridge and...
Okay, yeah.
No, it's not. I'm reading for a Strat.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Do you know that was always the worst thing to try and demo, when someone's like, yeah, can I try a deluxe Strat? Like,
no, okay.
Yeah, can you talk me through the S1 switch?
So it does do something.
No.
Position two. I'm wrong. No, yeah, you're right. It's neck pickup
so
only.
You That's like weird, the sound of neck pickup.
Definitely sounds different. Sounds different.
I would like it to be on the record that someone questioned my authority on Baja Tellies, despite never owning one. And I was correct.
Maybe I'm thinking about position two, not position three.
So you like the middle position of a Telecaster?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like you.
No, in out of phase as
All
well.
All right, Peter Green.
Sounds great. Sounds really good. Love it.
I mean, doesn't that would sound... It sounds a bit Stratty. It's got that like funky...
Yeah, it's good.
That sort of like fourth position on the Strat sort of sound. Fair enough. It's just not the sort of sound I'd expect you to be into.
No, I like it.
Talking of odd wiring, I remembered I didn't mention this before, but I've worked out how to turn the boost off on my Music Man James Valentine.
Oh, fantastic.
Because it's obviously the most pointless feature
on
there.
How to disconnect it?
No. There's a really complex circuit board inside with lots of trim pots. So the first thing I did was took the back plate off when I realised and turned them all. and then basically managed to cut the sound out completely and then fixed it. But there's a trim pot that adjusts boost volume, which you can turn to zero. So when you engage the boost, it does nothing.
But does it still need to have a battery in?
It still needs to have a battery
in. But
the thing that what was annoying me is I kept hitting it because it's obviously like a push-push. And then it's super loud. But you can also adjust the balance between single coil and humbucker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can make the humbucker sound louder than, much louder than the single coil, because they're actually balanced to sound exactly the same.
Oh, so you can...
The humbucker's like
tapped?
Gated?
I don't know how it works. There's some sort of circuit in there, and it basically adjusts the balance between... I'm assuming it's tapped, and it's adjusting the amount of pickup that you're getting
it must be, unless it's just bleeding off some, well, I suppose that is tapping. Maybe. It though, isn't it?
And then there's also a lot of the Music Man guitars also have like a noise reduction circuit for single coils, which you can also turn off, so you can actually make your guitar more noisy, which is also quite fun. But disengaging the boost was like brilliant, because I kept hitting it and I was like, I don't want my guitar to be as loud, I don't want people to hear how bad I am.
I guess the only thing is, it still won't work without a battery.
No.
You need
I've had the battery in for over a year now, and
yeah,
it's lasted a long time.
You could, by just taking the active circuit out entirely and just putting like a wiring harness in there.
Yeah, so, you'd need to completely rewire the guitar, because everything is like on a custom crazy circuit board of some sort. But it's the first guitar I've had in... forever, almost, apart from maybe the Charvel more recently, but that I've just never wanted to change the pickups on, because it just sounded right straight out of the case.
As you own the last 2 years of winners of the Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year, which one do you think is better?
Well, because when I got the Charvel, I was like, it's the best thing ever, and it is still amazing, but I've gone back to using the Valentine for a little bit, and actually the Valentine does the Tele 335 thing really, really well, because that's obviously what it's designed for.
Yeah.
And the Charvel does the really 80s Strat thing, like, amazingly, like the over Strat type sound, especially when you like using all the like the middle positions and stuff. And obviously the humbucker is much more high gain, so it works for way more gains. I've just been using them for different things. But talking to our friend Nick, who works at Guitar in Camden, we were talking about Gibsons, and I was just like, I can't remember the last time. He was saying the same thing. It's like, I can't remember the last time I picked up my custom shop Gibson. And he's got a wicked one. He's got one of those 55 Hot Mods. Do you remember these?
They were great.
They were the 55 Les Pauls that were stripped, that had the off-center flame top.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just an amazing... Because I was like, oh yeah, you've got that. It's amazing. So I was like, yeah, just never play it. And I must admit, like, I don't think it's a sound thing. It's actually just a playability thing. It's just that satin neck on the Music Man and on the Charvel just feel way more comfortable.
How do their necks compare, those two guitars?
They're actually really similar, but you can tell there's something in the gunstock oil that they use on the Music Man that feels slightly smoother. But I tell you that, like I said before, the Charvel out of the box was just amazing. And the trem system's just like brilliant. It's actually really nice to have a guitar with a half decent trem on it that doesn't go out of tune, that's not locking. But I've thought about putting one of those tremolo nose on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, what is that?
It's a device that replaces the claw on the tremolo system for strats or whatever, that basically has a small locking system that locks the trem down. So if you don't want to use the trem, you actually lock the trem in place, and it acts like a hardtail.
Oh, cool.
And then if you want to use it, like, you want to use the trem, you just flick a switch and then it bounces back. So it's quite cool if you just don't want it.
Parker Flies had that, like, built in.
Yeah, I think it was the same. I think the Steinbergers had a similar thing as well, where you could.
The Steinbergers had the trans trem. Well, not all of the Steinbergers.
The trans trem.
the sum of the Steinbergers. I can't. Was it the Z3?
Yeah,
ZT3.
That sure? Was, yeah, it's definitely what they were called.
And they had this thing called the Trans Tram, which basically allowed you to change the key that you were playing in.
Right.
By it had a Floyd on it. Well, you know, I don't know if it was an actual Floyd, but basically you could push down a half step and then lock it in place.
Right.
Or pull up a half step and lock it in place. And it's I think you could go...
You could go further than that.
Was it a full step each way?
You could go a full step each way, yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's basically like half step. I wouldn't be convinced it'd be that useful.
But what happens when you're playing... What happens? You've got your Steinberger ZT3 and... Mm. You've just finished playing Mr. Brownstone, at the wedding,
right.
And then next you've got to play Basket Case,
right?
And you don't want to
sacrifice that.
You don't want to take 4 seconds to tune.
And you don't want to just play it in E instead.
But what also, are you talking about? You know, song is in E flat.
Yeah.
What's great about it is, you know, for a song like that, you don't need to use the trem, because we all know with the trans trem, once you've locked it in a half step down, the trem doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, you can't use it.
Right, of course. Well, they're very useful.
I remember being shown that at the time and just thinking,
why?
Who is this for?
Why? Man, why?
Who is it for? I mean, it's great that you could, but did you need to, Ned?
Why? Yeah.
Good old boy.
So last weekend, I went to the studio to do a little recording, did a little 2 days. Did a little 2 day recording. One track, just one 15-minute track.
one 48-hour track. Literally got in. Pressed record.
Basically the same length as my entire album.
Anyway, I have never ever been as happy with my bass tone as I was. Sorted out the nut on the 69 P bass.
Mm-hmm.
Took that in. Played that. It sounded absolutely brilliant. What did I go through? Took in all my stuff, took in all my gear. And I was really like, oh, because we're going to be doing things quickly and, you know, it's virtually a live recording, I imagine I'll go straight into the desk. So I was like, I'll bring a handful of preamps that I like and I'll bring the Helix because, you know, I imagine we'll set up something that's good enough. There's a touch of modulation on this track, but not too much. Mostly it's just either drive or more drive. But
what's that Ampeg that you hate? SVT4?
SVT 450.
SVT 450?
No, of course I didn't use that. It's in Brand Electric. I could use anything. But I used the Bassman 135.
Quality.
Going into the old 215 that they have. And it's it's a 1978 Bassman 135 with the 215s. Use that. Just Origin FX compressor going into the Petty Drive 2. Little bit of the tape saturation from the Strymon Flint. That was it. Best sound I've ever had.
There we go.
Bassman 135 and a 69P bass. I was like, absolutely, outrageously, I have never been as happy as I was out of the box. Like, just
I think it
turning
was,
everything on.
I think it was on the podcast that Mark and I did together. We talked about the fact that I had a band practice. Did I tell you, were you here when we talked about this? I had a band practice a couple of weeks ago, and we went to the studio, which is one of my mates works at. And it's my mate who I sold my old Bassman 135 to.
Oh, right.
And he had it there. And I plugged into it. It just sounded unbelievable.
I can't believe how good they sound.
Yeah, it's so good.
When we finished, I went and spoke to Jimmy, the guy who runs that side of Bryant Electric, and was trying to convince him to sell me the Bassman 135. But he was like, no, everyone loves it.
Yeah.
can't lose that from the studio.
Yeah, we ended up using it for me, and we also ran our keyboards through it as well.
Okay.
And recorded the keyboards on like room mics going through the 135. They sound fantastic for all the ambient stuff.
They're so much more expensive now than when I had my one.
So there's one currently in Inverness with a 215. But isn't Inverness the most northern?
It's pretty north,
Scotland. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's an okay price, like $899 with the cab, but they're like collection only. And
so this new record that you've done, what's the catchiest chorus, would you say? What's the pop hit?
Actually I wrote all of this one.
Okay.
It's the first one that I've written, because it's
normally, all crap as well. It's just the bass.
Yeah, it's just all terrible. But I also used a plectrum I wrote a part that uses a plectrum. Because
why did you bother with a compressor then?
Because it's got like some tremolo picking bits that I just couldn't do fast enough. And of all of it, of all like the weird time signatures and the complex bits, I sucked. Oh. It took me so long to get like just even picking like in time with them because I'd never use picks. It was embarrassing. They had like some work experience guy. Well, not work experience. He was like doing a degree at BIM in to sort of watch. And I was
probably much
like,
more skilled than any of us in your work experience.
Yeah, sure. But you know, he was in helping.
Why don't we get a work experience for the podcast?
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'm just putting it out there
really
now.
That's a really good idea.
Submit your applications to info@guitarnerds.net. Work experience for
what do
I
have to do?
Podcast.
Like make us dinner beforehand.
Yeah. Tease. Carry Branton home at the end.
Yeah. So they have to set the stuff up.
Yeah, they've
oh,
got.
Oh yeah, they can
got
set
to settle
the stuff
up.
Yeah. They could also remember to bring SD cards.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be a good one.
Why are you looking at me?
Because
it's your
you forgot
job.
It last week.
It's your job. Uh-huh. You should never go on holiday. Yeah, I never used to go on holiday when I was the leader.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm sorry. I didn't go on holiday. I went to a festival. Anyway, I went to a festival in Leeds.
This is it.
And what's his name? Oh, what's the guy from Ocean Size and Biffy Clyro?
Ocean Colour Size. No. He's now Paul Weller's guitar player.
What's his name?
The left-handed fella.
Yeah.
Ocean Drive.
Ocean Drive.
Don't know why.
So Venart. Blue. Venart. That's his name.
Mike Venart.
Yeah. Yes.
Sun's gonna shine over everything that you do.
I'm not especially into Venart's music.
Blue. What a great song, honestly.
It's a fantastic song by Blue.
No, by Lighthouse Family.
Just because it says blue in the song, it's not
by the Blue Man Group.
Remember that classic song, She Loves You, the Beatles?
Anyway, yes. So Venart were headlining. I'm not especially into Venart, but that by that point in the night, I thought that everything was fantastic. I watched Venart at the very front, rocking away there, and I noticed their guitarist pedal board. It was a big old pedal board, like no switching system, but plenty of pedals and loads of weird sounds going on. Zoom 505 on there.
Yes,
classic.
I took some pictures. I need to upload them.
It's what every pedal board needs. Yes. Great tuner, really good display on there, perfect. Then you've got a load of presets made by the dream team at Zoom. Yeah. You've got the step phaser, the that one.
Yeah.
You've got all the things that you want.
Everything
you've got
you need.
Metal distortion. What more do you need?
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, should we...
What festival was it?
It was the Strange Forms...
They're always called something stupid. Why aren't they just called like the Leeds Rock Festival?
The
or whatever.
Strange Forms Avant-Garde Music Festival. No, it's not called that. It's just called Strange Forms. But yes, it was very good. It was thoroughly good. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Was it at the Brood?
It was at the Brood, yes. I love that place more than anywhere else on this planet.
The Brood?
The Broodenell Social Club.
Oh, right, okay,
it's
right,
like
yeah.
It's a working man's club, but it's massive, and it's got like several rooms and... You know, a couple of bars in there, pints are £2, shots of Jaeger are £1. Oh, I was having the time of my life.
I've slept in the library. Oh, no, not that's not the Brood now. I'm thinking of that place in Bradford.
Oh, yeah, that's the 1 in 12.
1 in 12 social club, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've played the Brood now. It's good.
Right. See, it is good.
I've been to Brood a few times.
Lost my voice entirely there, so we had to do our entire set with me going...
Did you watch Svalbard?
I did watch Svalbard.
That's
I've
so good.
I've seen them before. They're a fantastic band.
So good. Yeah, I saw them in Brighton the other a couple months ago, and they're so good. So good.
Same booking agent, us and them. So
I don't care.
Yeah, right. Oh, I just meant so.
He's never been folded like a fat man punched in the gut.
But yes, they are. They are great, aren't they? Svalbard?
Really good. Really good. Really good.
Interesting guitar that she was playing. I can't remember what it was.
I was stood at the back, and it was very dark. Listening to it, I had assumed it was a Les Paul or something.
Right. No, it was something weird. It was. It doesn't matter because I'm not sure what it was. But yeah, very very cool band. Anyway, shall we take a look at what's in our mailbag?
Mailbag. Bring mailbag. Is that how it goes?
Sort of, yeah. Close enough. So in our mailbag this week, we received from Walrus Audio their incredibly attractively designed Lillian Fazer.
It's as with all the Walrus stuff, the artwork is fantastic.
Yeah.
And do you know what? For a phaser, I thought it sounded absolutely brilliant.
I was shocked, Mark, because when you tried this out, you were saying how good you thought it was. And I've never heard you react positively towards a modulation effect.
I can picture Mark as a phaser guy, because you can just sort of leave a phaser on, set it fairly slow, play a load of chords, and it just goes up and down in the background. Yeah.
Slow phase is the best.
It's the only modulation effect that I think is usable. Chorus makes everything sound...
like The Cure.
Like the 80s, and that's obviously bad. Flanger, I mean, who's using a flanger?
I never turn mine off.
Exactly, weirdos and sex perverts.
Right.
A phaser, you can get away with it. I think it's subtle. I think it's got that kind of cool, swooshy effect, but not being like stupid. Like, you know, like when I hear someone turn a flanger, I think, oh, here comes the clown car. Whereas the phaser is cool, subtle, and it works.
Yeah, absolutely. A slow phaser is very cool. Omar Rodriguez Lopez says he never turns his off.
I don't care about him.
Mark's never going to buy it now or use it again. It's like, oh, it's related to the Mars Volta.
Matt, can you explain to me stages on phasers?
Not really.
we were trying to figure it out, because the 4-stage phaser on it sounds great. The 6-stage, I'm not that keen on. Too much going on. It sounds too much. There's too much detail in the phase.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's something to do with the amount of cycles the sine wave does,
right,
as it goes round, and the less stages you have, the kind of shallower the effect.
So the more stages you had, the
kind of brighter and more in depth the effect is if you have lots of stages.
No, that would make sense, because it sounded like on the 4 setting you can slow it down. You get that really like phase 90s sort of vintage phaser sound. That quintessential phasery sound.
Yeah.
Whereas it was starting to sound a bit three-dimensional on the other setting, and a bit modern and a bit...
Yeah.
You know,
well, if I remember rightly, a phase 90 is a 4-stage phaser.
Right. I thought it was 2.
Oh, really?
But I could be incorrect.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, here you go. So basically, it's a series of all-pass filters... called stages. So the more filters it has, each filter is an additional stage. So yeah, I guess that's why the more filters, the more intense the effect. Basically,
yeah, that's basically what it was doing. It was making it sound less intense, switching from the 4 to the 6. But yeah, I really like it. I can see it's something as you know you would use to just put a kind of wash across things.
Yeah.
Phase 90 is 4.
Right. And yeah, how much money is it? Do we know?
No, I'm not sure.
$199.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's kind of standard for like a company like Walrus Audio, who are a sort of boutique company. Again, like the artwork is pretty incredible. It has a second LED on there that seems to be just assigned to the pulse of the phase, which is quite cool. It's like a 4 control jobby, so you've got rate, width, and feedback. And then you've got DPV, which I think we decided was the depth of the effect.
I'm sure there's something more complicated.
I'm trying to understand that a little bit more. So it's basically a blend between dry, phase shifted, and vibrato.
Right.
So it changes the ratio of dry to wet signals sent to the output. So at minimum, you hear no effect.
Yeah.
I'm like, what would it do? Why would you set it to dry and then not
to
have
nothing.
Anything doesn't make any sense. So I'm assuming it's something to do with the width and feedback controls still do something even when it's set to
it on the farthest left you could go on the control. It really did sound like the pedal was not doing anything.
Yeah, so I think it's because on the V setting it says that it sets it to almost 100% wet, resulting in basically pitch vibrato.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you kind of want to add almost the minimum. It almost sounds like a weird control to have on there, because you're like, wouldn't you just have it?
It's kind of like a depth control, to be honest. It's because it's not just, it is like a blend across. So what you're essentially doing is just like blending in more of the effect.
I I also noticed it's got a smart switch on it. So it's just normal bypass, or if you hold it, it temporarily turns it on, like the old mini...
Matt, you just missed something absolutely incredible. Joe was holding the pedal. When you said smart switch, yeah. Joe was looking around the pedal to find the extra switch that you were talking about, not realizing that the smart switch was
the funniest thing I've ever seen.
On and off switch, and right. Jay had to grab it from him and point to the on off switch.
I now understand. So it's a latching and unlatching switch.
There's a switch, is there? Where's that hidden then? Sorry, mate. That was really funny.
I thought someone had already mentioned it, and then I was
Joe trying to find the any key.
Yeah. sorry, Joe. That was really funny.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
So the smart switch is it's an on off, and then if you hold it down, it's like an unlatching.
Yeah, like the Electro-Harmonix Mini, not Electro-Harmonix, TC Electronic. Like Spark Boost Mini and some of the other ones. And also, cool story, apparently. It's inspired by...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
World War II, over 1,000 women volunteered to fly in the military. This program was called WASP, Women Air Force Service Pilots, and one of them was called Lillian, and her story inspired them to make this pedal.
Oh, cool. There we go.
Very cool indeed. And on the Walrus Audio, I've mentioned this before, but on the Walrus Audio Instagram account, they make all of their graphics they design for their pedals are available in their stories as backgrounds for your phone.
Yeah, this one is especially cool. I think it's a great looking pedal.
Yeah, very cool indeed.
They also did a really cool reverb exclusive, which I thought looked wicked.
Did they
made like 300? Yeah, it was like a
Azzy Jeff.
It was what was it? It was the
I don't know Jeff.
I can't think what it was like. Their reverb and their delay in a dual box. It looked awesome.
Sure, yeah, sounds good.
Mark, I'm sure you had a lot to do with it. So
I did, 100%.
Busy guy, can't keep up with everything.
Yeah,
Walrus Audio actually also sent us this a lovely pick tin filled with appropriately coloured plectrums to match the Lillian.
Nice. They didn't send you an enamel pin by any chance, did they?
No, I didn't get it.
I'll tell you what, I'm on the Walrus Audio site now. I actually think
I love these guys.
They make, in terms of aesthetics,
yeah.
They make the best
looking
pedals.
Which is the important
pedals.
Thing.
This argument could rage
on
for ages.
Effects are effects. You could buy a Behringer if you care about sound. You know, it's
you know, I just think they look so good. If you had a board that was just all of those, that would be an impressive looking pedal.
I mean, yeah, their stand look always looks impressive at NAMM when they have pedal boards with all that stuff on.
It just makes me want to buy stuff, even though I know I don't need it. Like, I want to buy one of those now. Yeah, I'll never use it, but it looks wicked.
They're really, really cool. Yeah, everything they do is absolutely
just set it as the background to your phone.
That's true. I'll do that instead.
Then it'd be like, if ever you feel like your life is a bit boring and needs a bit of phasing, tread on it.
Sure.
It'll be fine.
Spice up your life.
Just shredding it, tread on it and go higher mark from reverb.
What was that? What was that?
That was my question as well. What was that?
What was that Octavi pedal that Walrus did that we got, Matt, that we had to mess around with? The Luminary. Yeah, that was a load of fun as well.
Oh, yeah.
I love everything that they do. And the Contraband. That's a really good fuzz. Yeah.
We talked about the...
The 385, which we've got as well.
The 385, yeah. One absolute drive. I put that drive on my little mini board there to use the other week. God. I love the 385. It's absolutely cracking. Yep. And yeah, and the slow as well. Yeah, I meant to ask them if we could have a look at the slow, but I asked for the Lillian by mistake. Which I'm actually happier about because the Lillian is absolutely awesome. But anyway, we should dive headfirst into a big fat barrel of news. So, Gibson, Mark Packham.
Hello.
Gibson. There's new Gibsons.
There
again.
Are. Well, sort of. So, this is basically, last week was the launch of Gibson 2019, despite, I guess, Gibson 2019 sort of being announced already. What they've kind of done with this is consolidated their efforts and made a bit more sense of the Gibson guitars that are available right now. So, the big thing is that they've split them into two ranges. The first one being Gibson Original Collection, and the second being the Modern Collection.
Right.
So, the Original Collection comprises of Les Paul Standard 50s, Les Paul Standard 60s, so your difference there is neck profile, I believe, and some different finishing options. For example, I don't think there's a gold top available in the 60s, no. So you've just got Sunburst available, and what they're calling Unburst, which is just an amber guitar,
right,
on the 60s. And on the 50s, you have got Gold Top, Heritage Cherry, and a Tobacco Burst. And I don't think there's any difference in pickups either. I just want to confirm.
So burst backers on both.
They've changed some of the... I think they've changed the knobs as well.
Yeah, so I think it's mainly cosmetic, and then the neck profile, because I think they're both... Oh, no, they are different. So on the 50s, you've got Burst Bucker 1 and 2s. On the 60s, you've got Burst Bucker 61R and Burst Bucker 61T. So they are different. They're also offering a 50s P90, so it's the standard 50s, but with P90s rather than the Burst Buckers. Then you've got the guitars that were introduced a little while ago. So the Les Paul Special and the Les Paul Junior.
Right.
Obviously, the difference being one pickup or two pickup. There's the SGs that they announced, mm-hmm, as well. The 61 Maestro, which has got the Maestro trem. 61 Sideways Vibrola.
It's so strange that they've gone for both of
those.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we talked about this when they announced those. Because those, again, those have both been out. They were out at initial launch,
yeah,
you know, when JC,
yeah,
took over. So there's the 61 Standard, which is you know, the half plate 61 style,
oh,
Les Paul, so
lovely,
just a stop tail. SG Special, which I'm not sure was announced when they did the rebrand. So
what's that, just a pair of humbuckers?
No, two P90s.
Oh.
No, it's like an old SG Special. So,
oh,
gloss finish, two P90s. Neck profile, I assume, is a 60s.
Oh, I'm excited,
yeah,
about
60s
that.
60s slim,
like,
taper.
Really wide and,
well,
fat.
So they announced the SG Junior when they brought the range back in, but I'm,
yeah,
pretty sure they didn't announce an SG Special. The good thing for you, Joe Brown, is the colour selection, because not only are they doing... Well, a guitar that I didn't realise was called... Oh, no, sorry. I'm getting confused here. That colour is called Vintage Sparkling Burgundy. So it's a metallic burgundy. So it looks a bit like... Do you remember the Fender colour Candy Cola?
Oh, yeah.
Looks a bit like that.
In a SG Special?
Yeah, but other finish is Pelham Blue.
Wow.
Which,
I mean, they already did a Pelham Blue. Oh, no, not in a Nest.
Not in a Special.
No.
Oh, my goodness me.
And then,
how much are they?
They are down as $14.99. So not huge amounts of money.
I actually, I saw them today. And I tell you, the one thing that struck me first of all was actually them sort of addressing the price. Because we were sort of talking about how, even when I stopped working in a store, like some Gibsons, like high performance, were getting up to like 3.5 over $3,500. And like the standards are, I think, like $19.99.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's like
yeah.
the perfect price point for someone who wants a standard. And it just made me remember what it was like selling Gibsons when I first started working in GAC. And it was like, I want a Les Paul. And it's like, okay, what neck profile do you want?
Well, yeah, I mean, so if you look at the original collection, so Les Paul standards now, the 50s and the 60s are both $2,499. Same with the P90. All the Les Paul Juniors and Les Paul Special, SG Special and SG Junior are ranging between $13.99 and $15.99. And then when you're looking at the SG standards, the 61 SG standards, they range from $17.99 to $19.99. So that none of these are getting up into that crazy money, you know, the $3,500. Also in the range, which again, I think were all announced at the time that the 2019s were originally announced, you've got a Firebird, a Flying V, and an Explorer. Colours-wise on those, you just get... you get red or sunburst.
What
on,
pickups
on
are you getting
Firebird.
In the Firebird? Mini humbuckers?
Just mini humbuckers, right. Yeah, as you'd expect. The thing about this Originals collection is everything is as you'd expect it to be.
Right.
There's nothing really here that jumps out and like, we've put a modern twist on this vintage rock royalty classic. It's literally just, it's the 60s SG Junior, so it's a SG Junior with a P90 and it comes in red. Do you know what I mean? That's like
that's cool, but it sounds like they've done cool colours. And are prices something that they've addressed across the board then?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. So just rounding out the original collection. So things like the Flying V and the Explorer range from $16.99 for the Explorer and the Flying V up to $19.99 for the Firebird. So again, kind of not outrageous pricing. That's the US street price. US... what they're listing on the site, whether that's, I guess it will be their MSRP or the equivalent. There's two bases in the Originals collection as well. There's a Thunderbird base.
Yes.
They've gone back to the original style soap bars in there. Yes. There's none of those weird...
Oh, there's like, pole pieces. To be fair, they only did those in 2015, but nonetheless.
And black or sunburst in that.
Have they gone back to the original bridge?
They have.
They started putting Babbage bridges.
They have indeed. It's as, like I said, it's as you'd expect a Firebird to be. And the other one is a model they're calling the SG Standard Base. So that, I think, is short scale.
That's just going to be the same as what they've always done, yeah?
Yeah, short scale.
Mudbucker in the neck, Sidewinder in the bridge.
Is that the pickups, though? You've got what they're calling Rhythm SG Base and Lead SG Base.
Mm. I wonder if they've revoiced them.
Potentially. So colour-wise on that, you get black or cherry, and it is indeed short scale. So that's the Originals collection. Most of those were announced a little while ago. And then you've got the Modern collection. So leading that kind of pack, the top guitar in that range,
the Gibson Modern.
It's called the Les Paul Modern, believe it or not. So the deal with this is it's kind of a modern-looking Les Paul. They do... they're like natural back and sides, but they've got a metallic top. So the choice that you get is sparkling burgundy, Pelham blue, or graphite, which looks like a black sparkle. I'm quite into that, to be honest. The things that they've done are slim taper neck with asymmetrical profile. So it's that thing of it being fatter on one on the bass side and thinner on the treble side.
So weird.
Pickups on there, you have got Burstbucker Pro Rhythm and Burstbucker Pro Plus Lead. You've also got a ton of stuff on the control. So you've got two push-pull volumes, two push-pull tones. So you get call tap, and then you get the pure bypass and a phase switch. So these are basically things that Gibson have been kind of messing around with for a little while. They've put all of those modern features into the Les Paul Modern. So,
shaved heel.
Indeed, yes. Also, they've changed...
I much prefer the term contoured heel.
Yes.
But Gibson are referring to it as shaved heel.
Well, it's because they've done something different. This isn't just the Les Paul Access heel. This is a new design for these guitars. If you're one of the people that enjoyed the modern features that Gibson have been putting on stuff, but you didn't necessarily like things like robot tuners... what they've done is put all of the modern features that actually kind of make sense and work into this guitar. This isn't going to please the sort of person that wants to just buy a 50s Les Paul, but if you want the kind of cutting edge Les Paul, that's what the Les Paul Modern is.
But they exist anyway.
What, the Les Paul Modern?
No.
The traditional stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah. Having said that, under the Modern collection, there's also things like the Les Paul Classic. So the idea behind this, I guess, and the reason it's in the...
Les Paul Classic Modern?
It's just called the Les Paul Classic, but it's in the Modern collection. The idea behind this, I guess, is that they're not strictly period correct guitars, so they're not like the 50s or 60s standards. What you've got here are things like open coil pickups on there, so 61R and 61T pickups in there. This will be like 60s style neck. So I guess the closest thing is like the 60s Les Paul, but you've got 9-hole weight relief, you've got the more modern pickups, and the kind of things like non-period correct, like open coil pickups and things like that. So there's a few guitars in the range like that. Things like the Les Paul Tribute, which is probably the cheapest... Yeah, it's the cheapest kind of Les Paul style guitar they're doing, like, you know, Les Paul standard style guitar they're doing,
right?
$1,199. So this is like a faded Les Paul Studio almost, and it kind of looks like it might even be a slightly thinner body. Modern weight relief on there. You've also got things like, yes, 490R and 490T pickups, so the classic, you know, like Les Paul Studio pickups, and it just comes in faded, like satin finishes. So you've got satin Ice Tea, satin Honey Burst, satin tobacco burst, and satin Cherry Burst. So this is the guitar for someone who just wants to buy an American-made Gibson for not a lot of money, and they want that Les Paul standard shape, $1,199. And then in between the two, you've got the Les Paul Studio, which is what you've come to expect from a studio. I think the necks on these are based on a kind of 60s profile. Slim taper neck on there. This is a similar guitar to the Tribute, but it's gloss finishes. And the colours on the studios these days are wine red.
Same as before, really.
Yeah, wine red, tangerine burst, smokehouse burst,
wine red
and black.
Looks awful.
It's a guitar that I've never liked.
It's just such a weird colour choice.
But to be honest, you know,
and there's such rubbish bits of mahogany that they use. It just looks like so patchy. Just go for a straight colour.
There's still maple top on there, though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
yeah. They are terrible maple top.
Well, it kind of depends, really, because some people really like the studio. They love how they look. And to be honest, when the only colours you could get were ebony or the wine red on studios, we would outsell ebony with the wine reds.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sure because I remember what the part exchange department used to be inundated with people trying to sell back in wine red.
What's weird, the one that's never got me is how many of the wine red with gold hardware we used to sell.
Oh, totally.
My worst ever looking guitar.
Awful.
But people love them. So, you know, there's no account for taste. The wine red stays in the catalogue.
Just as you say, Joe, you used to get people coming in and trying to sell those guitars to us secondhand all the time. And we had so many of them that we just couldn't give anybody any money for them. And like people come in and be like, oh yeah, you've got an old Les Paul Studio I'm looking to sell. And I'd be like, wine red gold hardware, is it? And they'd be like, how'd you know that?
Yeah, they always were. So the cheapest guitar in the modern range is a guitar that's been out for a while, one that we've talked about and you love, Joe, is the Les Paul Junior Tribute DC.
Ooh.
What they've added with this latest round of guitars is the Les Paul Special Tribute DC, which is the same guitar, but with another P90 in the neck.
Lovely. What a wonderful addition.
Well, totally.
I actually think it looks a bit better.
Yes, I do as well.
It kind of makes the scratch plate not look so weird.
I agree, because there's less kind of blank space. There's a pickup in that blank space instead.
The bass is the really exciting one.
Well, so we'll talk about that in a minute. I just want to round out the guitars. So you've got SG Modern, which, similar to the Les Paul Modern, is all of those kind of like modern features put on the classic shape. This is one for people that love the high performance models. You've got things like the chrome pickup surrounds, and you've also got, I just want to check, yeah, you've got the coil taps and the toggle switch. In fact, so there's no, this one is only coil tap. There's no direct to output and phase switching on there.
Price is pretty good on it, though.
Yeah, price is really good.
$1,999.
Yeah.
US dollars,
yes.
on a modern. If you think like that was the discount price in pounds when we were trying to
totally
sort of get them out the door with the last year's
totally
version, and the same thing.
You know, the person that I see for this kind of guitar is someone who wants the almost that PRS aesthetic of like heavily figured maple, and you know, that kind of like what do they call this finish? Trans black fade. So the top is like, or sorry, the where the horns are on the guitar is slightly darker than like where the bass strap button is on there.
Yeah.
It's got very much that kind of, yeah, that real PRS aesthetic to it. And someone who wants an SG but wants something that isn't just your Angus Young machine, then this is a nice alternative. And they also do like a blue, like an ocean blue burst as well, which looks cool. SG Standard is still in the range. So that belongs in the modern range because it's not like one of the 61 reissues. It's the full plate on there rather than the half plate.
I love the look of a full plate on an SG.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And, you know, again, they've kept it simple. Finishes, you've got Heritage Cherry, so the kind of Angus Young vibe, or Ebony. It's the guitars that you expect to see from Gibson. Pickups on there, 490R, 490Ts. So they've gone back to where they were in like 2010 or whatever, which is cool. That's, you know, those SG standards have always been fine. And then when you start messing around with the pickups and start messing around with switching and all that stuff, that's not what people want. So they've gone back to just a basic SG standard, which is cool. SG Tributes are also in the line. So much like the Les Paul Tribute, this is basically your faded guitar now. It's a guitar that has been around for a while. Matt, you've had one forever and love it.
Over 10 years now. I think.
Yeah.
10 years old now. That
totally. So this is...
They've kept the price down again on
They have. What are these? $1099,
yeah,
I believe. So
that's great.
You've got rounded neck profile on there. So more of a 50s profile. Two colours. Worn cherry satin or natural walnut. And yeah, again, those are your kind of like workhorse
SGs. Yeah, that's what
SGs.
They've done forever.
On the pointy side of things, on the kind of Futura side of things, you've got Flying V B2 and Explorer B2. These are basically the kind of matte black Explorer and Flying V. And they've got pickups in there, Dirty Fingers pickups.
Oh, really?
Dirty Fingers plus rhythm and Dirty Fingers plus lead.
That's pretty cool.
Well, they did that before with the 70s tributes.
Oh, did they?
I wasn't a huge fan of those, to be honest with you.
They're a high gain pickup.
Yeah, I mean, they were better than the mini humbuckers that were in the original 70s tributes.
Yeah. The only reason I'm surprised is because it's like a named pickup. You know, it's a well-known pickup. I expect this modern stuff to be where they sort of... Gibson traditionally sort of put this is our 490R and 490. We know that those pickups don't sound great.
But they're a Gibson company, aren't they? Matt, you might want to
correct
them.
Yeah, they are.
Then that may be. I just meant they're, you know, they're
oh,
still,
see what you mean.
Still like a branded pickup.
I guess the idea behind these is they're for metal guys, you know, because they're all, everything on them is black. You know, they've got this kind of matte stealth black look.
I think they
Scratch
look
plate is black. They're designed to be super high gain, kind of metal-y things.
They're tasteful, like in a metal sort of, you know, scheme of things. They're tasteful, well priced. Those are cool pickups. Man, this is the best job they've done with the modern Flying V and modern Explorer in a long time.
Apparently, the Dirty Fingers are actually based off the pickups that came in 1970s Gibsons.
Well, there we go.
Very
there we
hot
go.
Humbuckers introduced by Gibson in the 1970s.
So, rounding out the modern collection, and Joe, I know you're excited for this, the Les Paul Junior Tribute DC Bass. So this is the bass version of the guitar that everyone's been buying and loving. What's the deal on this? This is like a short scale, single humbucker.
Bang in the middle.
Yeah, and again, it's controls kind of mounted on the scratch plate.
Yeah, so scratch plate's the same. Love it. Sort of volume, tone, pickup, bang in the middle, short scale. Comes in cool colours, like, you know, good, simple, oversized body shape. So it's, you know, a scale up on size from what the actual normal junior shape is. But what a fantastic workhorse. You know, Gibson have been needing another Ripper style bass, you know, for a while. Because
exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly what this is. Because, of course, you know, you've got people who will always want a Thunderbird sound, people who want that old SG sound. Like, those are specific tones. But it doesn't change the fact that, like, you know, 90% of bass players today are playing a sort of P bass or jazz bass-esque, a Fender-esque instrument. And the Ripper was always Gibson's stab at that side of things. Fantastic to have something, you know, back in the game. Because their last effort didn't do too badly at all. It's been doing worse. The EB, but I mean the 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2014, 2000. They did it for 3 years. 13, 14, and 15. They did the old shape EB, and it came with a proper like torque guard. Looked really good. Like, looked Fendery, but it had Thunderbird pickups in it. It sounded fine. You got away with it. But this looks like an absolute brilliant. You've got all the best bits of Gibson aesthetic, plus it's going to have a more, you know, sort of modern, acceptable bass tone.
Yeah, I think we'll be seeing a lot of these. I hope these sell really, really well.
So they're calling it the original or the modern rather than 2019's, right?
Exactly that, yeah. So it looks like, to me, year numbers have gone away.
Oh, yeah, because I actually just Googled 2019 Gibsons, and it is filled with videos of hate from last year's announcement in September. So yeah, I think they kind of went, well, we should probably... And again, I think it's, for me, that feels like the right choice because... They were getting to the point where it was like every year, but it would only be 8 months before they announced the next one. And
you didn't have enough time to sell them.
Yeah, and it feels like they're just rebranding it. But yeah, nothing from the Memphis side of things.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So what's weird is the layout on the website. So you basically, when you land on Gibson.com, you've got your choice of what they call as like pick your style, original or modern collection. And then looking underneath where you go down into the actual models themselves, if you click on Les Paul, for example, all the guitars here, excluding the custom shop stuff, fall into either of those two collections. Whereas if you click on the ES models, there's a ton of stuff that doesn't appear anywhere, but I do know that some of this stuff was actually announced this week. So, for example, the new ES-235, which is a slim-bodied Florentine cutaway hollow body, which looks really good, really, really nice.
Yeah, it looks great.
Doesn't fall into either of those two collections, so I'm not sure exactly where they're doing that.
Announced on the modern collection, because they announced a couple of acoustics on the modern collection as
well. That's not how they display them on the site, so I need to go and do a bit of digging. But yeah, actually, for me, the standout, the guitar from the announcement the other day, is this ES-235.
So there's an ES-235 gloss, and then there's an that's 275. So there's the 235 is the Florentine, and the 275 is the rounded.
Oh, 275. Oh, what an absolute stunner of a guitar.
I think they should do the 125. I want the 125.
Wait, what's the 125?
The one pickup, the one neck pickup.
Single P90.
Single P90.
Florentine
neck.
Cut? Or?
No, cutaway.
Right. Oh, no cutaway. Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah, they should do that.
It's like, it's basically the James Bay guitar.
Yeah. Is it skinny or fat?
Skinny.
They did a 125 and a 125T, which was the thin one.
They did.
They sound banging, those guitars.
I'd be really interested to try this ES-235 because, to be honest, Gibson, like thin-bodied Florentine stuff, cutaway stuff, they haven't really ever been good in the time that I've kind of worked in shops and stuff.
Right.
Like they used to do some thin-bodied stuff, and they also did some... Do you remember the Gothic... hollow bodies they did for a while. They were just not great. So this is the first one I've seen for ages where I'm like, oh, this actually looks really good. And one of the finishes, the 34 burst, looks incredible. It's a tiny little sunburst. So most of the guitar is like black or, you know, slightly brown, and then just centered around the tailpiece and the bridge is the sunburst, and it looks like a guitar that you might see, you know, someone had used since 1934.
That's really weird.
And there's like the sunburst is kind of like faded into this tiny little bit in the middle. It looks awesome.
Just looking at the custom shop side of things as well, gone are all the ridiculous models by the looks of it.
Oh, really? They've got rid of like their sort of puzzle built.
Yeah, so going on to the like Gibson.com website, obviously you've got electric, just going down to Gibson Custom Shop. I don't know whether there's also designer model. Oh, designer models are like the pointies. But Custom Shop, they've basically got a 60th anniversary 59 Les Paul Standard, a 57 Les Paul Junior, which I'm guessing is like the proper Les Paul Junior reissue, which comes in right or left handed, as well, which is quite cool. A 58 double cut, a 57 special, a 60 special, a 54 gold top, a 56 gold top, a 57 gold top, a 58 plain top, a standard 60, a 57, and then they go into the SGs. But they're also doing things like a 68, and then obviously they're still doing customs, so modern guitars. I'd be interested to see actually the custom. I wonder if they, because they're offering, they say they can't ship internationally, so you must be able to order direct from them. I was wondering whether the neck has switched yet. So the fingerboard material switched back to ebony as well.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited about new Gibson, everyone.
Yeah, totally.
Jay, you should be afraid.
I'm not afraid. I feel very unwell, though.
Well, actually, as you mentioned, that is.
Oh, can I go to bed now?
Yeah, that is
no,
it.
No, because the Patreon episode, we've got a great game lined up.
Okay.
Get your thinking cap on, Sam.
Yes, okay, you're absolutely
I'll get Lemsip
right.
on and I'll be all right.
Get Lemsip on. But yes, you're absolutely right. We will be moving over to the Patreon edition of the Guitar Nerds podcast, where you can join us for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the regular episode of the podcast ad-free and early.
Do you remember when you said you're listening to podcasts this week?
And, did it different every time. Rather than read it off a script on their laptop.
You did it the other day. No, I gave up. I said, I can't be bothered. Do you know what? I can't be bothered. Check it out on a Patreon.
$1 a month, $5 a month gets you the episode, regular episode, ad-free and early, plus a load of mini-series and guff like that. $10 a month gets your name read out by this chump like this.
You're going to have to do this.
Eric Field, Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Royce, Chris, Jake Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Gould, Scott Hamilton, Jack Robinson, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Daniels, Steven Ends, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emmy James Baker, Juan Courier, Aaron Sermon, Blake Wyland, Andrew Goody, Jamie Jones, Jake Gray, Matt Benaby, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Crystal Lewis, Hans Arms, Robin Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Nordwick, Duncan Watson, Ed Bailey, Steve Wagle, DJ McCross, Michael McRae, Carlos Muncher, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Thomas, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Ansis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moog, Garrett Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew Ginn, Scott Kane, Sean Argo, Christopher Wolfman.
Did we decide that you're going to put patrons' names at the end of YouTube videos now as
yes,
well?
Yes.
That's the plan.
Yes.
So as well as get your name read out in one breath, you're also going to appear in the credits of the YouTube videos, which I think is cool.
Yeah,
do you want me to finish off or are you doing it?
What is there left to say?
Talk about the Facebook group, talk about the Twitter, Insta.
What about them?
These are all
Mark
the things
Patton?
That are making you money right now. I earn nothing from this.
Yeah.
Not a single penny.
I earn nothing from this. You can follow us. What can you do?
Facebook.
Join us. Oh, join the discussion on Facebook. On facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum.
Guitar Nerds Forum.
You know, Facebook is all about groups now.
So come over to Guitar Nerds Forum. Guitar Nerds Group.
No, not Guitar Nerds Group. That's banned.
Guitar Nerds Forum. That has been redacted. Or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Guitar Nerds or YouTube, which is also just Guitar Nerds or Guitar Nerds videos. We come up on both, which is lovely. Anyway,
email Joe directly.
Yes.
Joe Branton is dumb.
Or send money to my bank account, which is 0400. Oh, that is actually my bank account. Anyway.
04004.
Yeah, there's a couple more.
Oh, because it's the account code.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to stop right there. We'll see you later. Farewell.
Steal his money.
Bye.
Matt, you going to say bye?
That's gone.
He's gone.
That's gone.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.